David D hanging out with you this afternoon. We are here, Hard Knock Radio, about to check out the press conference that is going on here at the San Francisco Bayview District on 3rd and Oakdale. Find out what is going on with the recent shooting of Kenneth Harding, a 19-year-old man who was shot to death. He was considered unarmed by the people in the community. The police say that he had a gun, but there's been no witnesses to confirm this. We're going to find out what's going on. We're going to talk with our man, JR. So, JR, you know, since you brought us over here, man, why don't you let us know what's happening with the people that you want us to talk to?
Well, what's happening at Hunters Point is the community is mobilizing in much the same way that Oakland did around Oscar Grant. There was a killing that was really behind about $2, a $2 muni fare, and the police shot and killed people. So as a reporter and a journalist like yourself, what I'm trying to do is find out what exactly happened play by play. I seen the video, but now I didn't caught up with a lot of the elders, the OGs in Hunters Point that was sitting right here when the dude got shot.
So this person here we gonna talk to, he said seen the whole thing.
He seen the whole thing, yep.
I'm saying, what's your name?
I saw him run past me. Okay, police stopped right there, aimed at him, hit the boy in the leg, and then brought him down to the ground. That's all I saw.
What did you think when you saw that?
I just said it was overkill. When he hit him in the leg, he was going down and he kept shooting.
You know, we saw a video where he was trying to get up, and there was like a whole bunch of people yelling to help him, and the police seemed to stand him off. What did you think of that when you saw that?
I didn't see that part. All I saw was it was just him and the cop, another cop, and he stopped and started shooting. It was clear. It wasn't nobody over there but the youngster and the police.
What about this stuff that we hear that he was shooting at the police? Did you hear anything?
He had to be in back of me because I was up here. They supposed to have been back there. I didn't see none of that. I thought it was fireworks jumping off until the cop ran past me blasting because I felt this going past my ear.
So you didn't see him shooting?
No.
Okay. We appreciate that, man. We appreciate that. Thank you so much. We're going to head on over and check out the press conference. We see Willie Radcliffe from the Bayview and a bunch of other people gathered around to see exactly what's happening. But from where it stands, it seems real strange that we haven't seen or heard any of these witnesses come forward to say that homeboy had actually shot. Every only people we hear saying that is the police. But we're going to find out here at this press conference.
And he's laid on the ground for about maybe 30 minutes before paramedics getting in. They wouldn't let anybody treat the man for his wounds because they was concerned about the crowd. So he sit there and bled in front of everybody before any help came to help him. So no one has a professional ability to see if they're wound like that. He was bleeding too. Even if it was a doctor in this community, I don't think they could have saved him the way he was bleeding from his mouth. Pardon me?
Did you see him shoot back at the police?
I did not. I seen him running for his life. That's what I seen. He was running for his life. And the shots hit him viciously. Henry Taylor.
Henry, let me ask.
HENRYTAYLOR.
Henry, what did you think when you saw him laying there and that nobody could go to help him?
Well, I personally, it's dramatizing for anybody to see that. And I'm like,
murder.
You wouldn't even shoot an animal like that and watch an animal die like that. And to say that you shot a human being like that, nobody should have to witness that.
What about all this stuff about somebody saying that he shot? I haven't ran into anybody who's claiming that.
Well, I don't think you will for the simple fact, as you can see, that they said they found a gun at 10:30 at night. And if you shot somebody as a professional, first thing you would do is make sure you get that weapon so nobody else can use that weapon. So why they would find a gun at 10:30 at night is a question that has to be asked.
And finally, they also said that people were in danger because of him shooting. Were people in danger in this plaza? Did you see that?
Yes, it was.
I mean, you were from the police or from him?
Okay, I'm sitting there. I witnessed everything. So, yes, people was in danger. It's a playground right here that's normally filled every day. And the bullets was flying viciously, and it could have hit anybody because about
8 shots was fired.
From the police?
From the police. Each police fired at least four to five times. I couldn't count, but at least 4 to 5. Each officer fired that many times.
Did they point guns at any of the other residents in the community?
Only when they was trying to keep the crowd back from getting too close to the man who they shot down.
Was the crowd pulling weapons out or anything?
No, they were just mostly shouting and in anger and like, you're wrong, you shouldn't have did it. That's sad that you would do that to an individual.
I appreciate that, my man. Thank you. JR, let me ask you this, man. You know, we've been walking around here, and I know you've been out here because we heard about this first from you. I haven't been able to find anybody that claims that he shot at the police. I don't understand. I mean, the chief was on the television last night, and he said he wanted to thank all the witnesses who came forward, but none of the reporters have shown any of these witnesses. What's going on with that?
I think this is just an example, just like with the Oscar Grant case, where they got to save their own ass. And so to justify it to the public, they have to have a reason for why they killed this guy. But exactly, it's a PR move. But just exactly like Oscar Grant, luckily we got it on tape. And it happened in such a visible place where people hang out all day here. So it's not like it happened in some kind of alley where we don't know what happened. It's a lot of people that's here right now that saw it. And see, that's why I'm glad that you're here, Damien. You're not crowding around whoever just the special speaker of the day is, because it's a lot of speakers that was here that visibly saw it who are not being coerced by the police. And I'm not saying anybody is, but I'm saying they're not in line with the police press release. And because they're not here to protect their job. They're here to tell the people specifically what just happened. And so I'm just here to try to help facilitate that the media gets the right story. And I mean our media, not the mainstream. They're going to do what they do. But I'm just here to try to just help us get the right story out.
I appreciate that. And last question for you, JR, is what's this thing about the gun being found? You covered enough police shootings to know how they deal with this all around the country. What is this about the gun?
Well, I mean, they have to justify why they kill somebody, and they know that killing an unarmed man is a crime. That's murder. So they have to claim that they seen a gun. You know, they have to claim that they saw a gun. They did claim that in Gary King's case. They claim that in DeAndre Brunson's case in Compton when they machine gun him to death on camera. You know, they just it's a way that they have to justify killing an innocent black male. And then I think that the racism in the history of American media has once they say gun, nobody cares if the black man they act like it was justified that he was murdered. So I think it's very important that we, you know, they say gun, we'll make them prove it. They haven't even produced a reporter, like you said, that has got a witness that said that, besides cops.
Right, and that's real talk right there. We appreciate it. We've been talking with JR. We're going to go back, listen to some more people here at the press conference that's taking place right here at the Bayview, in front of the Bayview Opera House. We appreciate that. Davey D, still out here. Hard Knock Radio, we are here, still at the press conference. We ran into Kevin Epps, well-known filmmaker. Kev, man, we wanted to talk to you. You're no stranger to this type of controversy, this type of situation. What are your thoughts on what is going on?
I just think it's incredible to have the entire community and everybody that witnessed what happened say they did not see this young brother shoot at the police. And then you got a whole different set of, you know, what the police are saying. And they're saying that a brother fired shots. So it's incredible and appalling that you hear this. I just think there needs to be an investigation outside of the San Francisco Police Department, district attorney, because George Gacon was the previous chief. There's just a lot of conflict of interest, and maybe the Justice Department need to take a second look at this, because I've never heard it, such thing where you have the entire, everybody that witnessed this act said the same thing, and it's consistent.
You know, there's been such a demonization of the black community that when you hear the word Dave Uhanas Point, there are people that have said, well, you know, they're probably lying and they're probably protecting one another and there's all crime out there. And some people have even said that there might have even been a justification for this.
Well, you know, I say to those people, where's your humanity? Because for the most part, that's really irrelevant in this situation, because what you have here is a young black male who was just cold, calculated, callously murdered right here, shot in the back 6-7 times and laid here to just die in a way where it traumatized the community beyond words. People are traumatized. And the police, if you've seen it, it was just so cold in the way they treated it. They didn't even treat him as a victim.
Right. We saw the video where he was lying there and they held the crowd back from helping.
Held the crowd back for helping, and this brother bled, trying to hold on to dear life, just bled. 40 caliber slugs in his neck, in his back. There's no justification for it. And then you got this many people, because it's always crowded out here, so everybody said they shot this dude down in cold blood. Oh, no, man. And in light of the history of the San Francisco Police Department, as of recent, I don't even talk about historically, I'm talking about as of recent with the criminal investigations and all the stuff that's going on.
Can you talk about that? Because people are forgetting. People are forgetting that there was all these cases thrown out of court. San Francisco police caught on tape, robbing, planting evidence, stealing from people.
Yes. I mean, just so in light of that, because that's a lot of that stuff is still ongoing. I mean, you have these multiple investigations with unethical conduct by the officers running amok. Renegade police, cliques, gangs. We need, and this is set it off right here. And my heart goes out to the young man's family, you know, and his loved ones, because, you know, that would never go away. It's like the Oscar Grant case, the video, the footage, so many people filmed that it would never go away. So my heart goes out to his family. But right now, man, this is like we're right here where blood was spilled. I'm talking about a lot of blood, and this is a sad, sad story, but I think justice needs to be served, and I'm just calling on the outside investigation, like the Justice Department, to get involved.
That's the voice of Kevin Epps. We appreciate it. Thank you very much. For everybody that's out here listening, let everybody know your name and why you're here today.
Misha Irisari. I'm the director of Idris Telly Foundation, the city commissioner on MOC, the Marijuana Oversight Committee, and the co-director of Education at Incarceration. I call this conference today so that we can ask for three things. First of all, this is not a plantation. Okay? The slave master is not coming to shoot people like rabid dogs. And they do all the time. But it was caught on tape this time. Okay? And we want a civilian review board here like there is in Oakland. We want an independent FBI investigation. That won't amount to nothing, but still, we still want it.
So we
want George Gascon to be taken off the investigative mix. Because
who's George Gascon?
He is the current DA, former police chief 3 months ago. This man doesn't belong to the investigation.
When you heard about this, what went through your head when you first got wind of this?
My child.
Right, and everybody, and remind everybody.
Yeah, Idris Telly was my only child, who was shot 48 times by 9 officers at the Metreon Theater on June 12, 2001.
I wanted to bring this up because it seems like the police over the years have gotten real quick at having a response and an answer for everything. In this case, there was a gun. And in this case, they not only that they have a gun, but they have witnesses. But we haven't seen the witnesses, and the gun was found at night.
After 2 witnesses, they have been calling our crisis line for the past 3 days. They said the kid might be local, possibly autistic, that's what I heard, not Seattle, and that his hands were up in the air when they shot him. Many people told me that. They saw it. And frankly, David, I don't care if this kid was a chainsaw massacre poster child. If he was white, he would go to trial.
Right. And it seems like there's the perception of if you can say something bad about us, then it justifies the killing.
Exactly. You know, a reporter from Channel 5 came to my house this morning. She looked around and said, aren't you scared to live here? I can't speak about it. I said, hell no. You know what? Drug dealers take me home at night and say, are you alone, mama? I got your back.
Right.
Do you want an escort? And I don't condone drug dealing. But this is the kind of community that we have here. We're tightly knit. We protect and serve each other. Today, we are watching the police and then on.
We appreciate that. Thank you so much. We very much appreciate it. Hey, David D. out here. We're still here at the press conference talking to people, finding out what's going on. We're still talking to people. That's going on. Tell everybody your name and why you're out here.
Name is Jeremy Miller, co-director of Education Non-Incarceration. I work with the Idris Deli Foundation as well. And I'm out here today because the community is outraged at the police shooting of a 19-year-old man right here at 4:40 in the afternoon on Saturday. And, you know, this is a man that, by first reports, was shot in cold blood, for allegedly evading paying a muni fare, a $2 muni fare.
You know, when you hear this, you're going, what could possibly lead to somebody getting shot over a bus transfer that's like $2? What is this about? Is this trigger happy cops, or is this about youth that are out of control, that police need to fear them, or is this something else that we're missing?
This is about trigger happy cops, absolutely. This is about police officers that come from an institutional culture that views our youth as expendable. There's no doubt in my mind about this. There is no reason whatsoever why lethal force should be used against a alleged fare evader. And now they're coming out with all this other nonsense now too about the brother's name apparently was Kenneth Harding. They're coming out with all this other nonsense, the cover story about a gun and murder in Seattle and all this other stuff, but importantly, none of that came out. The very first mention of a gun didn't come out until about 7 or 8 hours after the shooting. The story coming out of Seattle is being circulated directly by Police Chief Greg Suhr. We have been provided no evidence.
Well, if we, just to be clear, the people in Seattle, the police in Seattle said that Kenneth Harding was a person of interest.
Right.
And that's the difference between being wanted.
Right.
Right. I mean, a person of interest could be me or you.
It could be anyone. Exactly.
Did you witness what was going on would make you a person of interest? Do you know somebody who might have been involved makes you a person of interest? That's very different than saying we have witnesses that said you shot somebody and you are wanted.
Exactly. No, and I'm really glad you pointed that out, because anyone could be a person of interest. It's the same as saying nothing.
Right.
And so we need to look at that. We need to look at the timeline, the fact that the SFPD has built their cover story over 2 days without providing any evidence. It was not, in fact, even them who released the name Kenneth Harding. That came from local journalists. Okay? We need to call for an immediate independent FBI investigation of this incident. We need to call, we are here today to call for an immediate creation of civilian police accountability in the city and county of San Francisco with teeth.
Let me ask you this. What is the connection between what we saw take place here on Saturday with the death of Charles Hill at the BART station, and we've had troubling shootings take place.
Sure. In fact, there was another shooting on Saturday as well of an alleged Los Angeles bank robber up right by Buena Vista Park. This was not, in fact, the only police shooting that happened
really
on Saturday. it. Yeah. So I'm glad that you brought up Charles Hill. You know, this is evidence of institutionalized behavior. This is not, as they would like to present it, a isolated incident. This is the latest in a spate of extrajudicial attacks and often, unfortunately, killings by the San Francisco Police Department because they believe that they are acting with impunity. They believe that no one will call them out, that no one will hold them accountable, and that's the situation we're trying to change. That is why we're here today.
What about people who look at San Francisco as being this bastion of liberalism, of being very progressive, on the cutting edge when it comes to social justice issues? How do we explain this?
San Francisco has a multi-million dollar industry of selling itself as a liberal, progressive city, and in aspects, we do have that. We have some progressive media out here. We have a lot of progressive art out here. We have, you know, there's a lot of energy initiatives that have started here, but it's also one of the most segregated cities in the United States of America. It also has a police department that is every bit as murderous and dirty as comparable departments around the country. And that doesn't matter if you're talking Midwest, Deep South, East Coast. And that's also documented. California was the first state in the union to spend more on prisons than schools.
Many people forget that organizations like the Ella Baker Center and all that started in San Francisco because of police killings.
Well, exactly, and that's the important part because, you know, I call it like this. There's a mythology that goes out about crazy wild San Francisco. People come here, they get to know it, and then they really get to know how crazy it really is. And it's not all good. There are great things. There is the Ella Baker Center. There is KPU. There is Mutiny Radio. There's right across the bay is KPFA. You got the SF Bayview National Black Newspaper out here. There are community groups, Ella Baker Center, Education on Incarceration, Poor Magazine, Ida Restelli Foundation. The list goes on and on. There's a lot of good things happening out here, but that does not mean that the struggle is not happening here. And in fact, I would argue quite the opposite. The reason why there are so many proactive progressive people here in San Francisco is because we have never stopped struggling against things like this.
Real talk. We're going to continue talking to folks, man. We appreciate you taking time out this afternoon. We're here at the Bayview on 3rd in Oakdale trying to find out what was going on with the shooting, the unfortunate shooting of Kenneth Harding here, unarmed black man who was alleged to be evading paying his fare on the Muni bus. We're going to find out what's happening. We'll be right back.
And I wanna turn them off for the patchies at it again, beating up the South Bronx. Cop watch for the criminals that work the system. They put us all in prison. I will not be a victim. I will fight for the future of my unborn children. I got soldiers marching outside the 41st precinct. Never extinct, the numbers will multiply. This is unjustified, this unjust system lies. Take a check to immigrants and low wage workers. So the real estate developers can get to working. For what it's worth, I've been prepared since birth to read the number up the bad that's pinned on your shirt. And for that, they got me cuffed, acting all tough, choke cold. I can't breathe like I need an asthma pump. And I'm glad my boy Bill Cartel on tape, cause he gotta show what happens in the hood every day. Come on. For some, I ain't even do obstructing justice, man. Justice for who? The street sweepers getting clean for the right people. Developers in bed with the politicians. Now we got more arrests. Why text from the feds? Go to more prison beds. Fill them with kids that are told they ain't by a school system that breaks their spirit. Niña solita la migra y sordada. Niña solita la mama trabajaba. No hay alternativa to the block and the hustle. If you're poor and you're young, they gon' question what you up to. Put you through the wall, knees on the floor. Guns pointing at you like a fiery squad. Scared that dicks won't make me quit. Y'all violence won't silence my consciousness. With upscale weaponry, psychological warfare is bullpen therapy. 42 inmates, the toilet smell nasty. Screaming out for justice so my voice get raspy. Smoking by the toilet, they flushing the smoke. Staring at the empty wall, but the youth gave me hope. Spirit's so strong, my people protesting for us. I swear I heard free the rebels as the chorus. Somebody with money wants to get rid of the vendors, and I think gentrification is a secret agenda. See, let me break it down, let's keep it real simple. The vendor got harassed by the health officials. The health officials' mission was enforced by the commissioner, so the mayor and his investors can all get richer.
They got me in handcuffs.
Willie Radcliffe of the San Francisco Bayview newspaper. Thank God you're here for a couple of reasons. Early this morning, many people around the country woke up. Well, late last night, many people received a very disturbing video of a young man who was struggling. We saw the last moments of his life as he was bleeding. Police with shotguns and all types of artillery holding back a crowd and preventing him from being helped. We saw him die on the film. This morning we woke up and it was a story, a narrative that seemed to be police fed. There was a gun that was supposedly found. The chief of police said there are witnesses, but we didn't hear the names of these witnesses. And then of course there's this connection to Seattle, implying that the police went on the train and was looking for a runaway from Seattle who needed to be apprehended, which we know is not the case. But you had wrote a very compelling article that we were also able to wake up to this morning to read in the Bayview, asking why people should die for transfer. Could you share with us that perspective, especially because it seems to be very reflective of the community that we see here right now, and it seems to be in stark opposition to what the police have said?
Well, the police, every time they kill somebody, the first thing they do for the cover-up is to demonize. Because how many police have you seen go to jail or get charged with murder when they murder people? Right. So that's the first thing that we look at. The only reason you shoot somebody like this guy running away, you shoot a mad dog that got rabies. That's the only ones you shoot like they shot that boy. He's a human being, and I don't care where he come from. I don't care what color he is or what else. He's a human being, and he needs respect.
What if we find that all this is true? Let's say he is the demonized person that has been said. Does he deserve? Was justice served with him being shot? I mean, can we agree to that?
Of course not. They had no reason to shoot him whatsoever. Right. But what we need to get rid of also, a city like this, Gaddafi's people didn't have no problem traveling, getting a home, getting a job, and they call him a dictator. Now here, this rich city here, you know what our motto is? Care not cash. That means permanent down people and never have an opportunity to get up. Now the black community out here has been strong. We got the highest, still have the highest homeownership out here, but they want us out of here because this is the most land left in this city. So they want to develop it, but in order to do it, they got to run us out. But they're first to go after our young lawyers. They either shoot them, put them in jail, or have them killing each other, fighting over crumbs. Right. So that's what we got to get rid of. But one thing I'm pushing is for the Board of Supervisors to come up with a means test. Anybody that want to ride the bus, all you got to go down to get your pass, you show what you made last month, and then it'll be based on whether your ability to pay. And a whole lot of people, and stop this war against young people in this city, especially in Bayview Hunters Point. They do the same in education. We know jobs. Actually, between the age of
18 and 30, 18 and 40. We somewhere in the 50 to 55% unemployment rate out here. And what do you expect? And I know when we didn't have no unemployment out here, we didn't have no killing out here, we didn't have no bars on our windows because everybody had a job. So if you want to run people out, first thing you do, you cut out their way to make a living, and then you put the police force out here to occupy the community to run people off. And they're doing it all over the country, but we intend to stop it in this city.
You know, kind of connected, you talked about people's inability to afford things, and traveling has become very expensive. I remember there was a big fight to make sure that people in this community would be a part of the building of this Third Avenue Rail, which now, as you're pointing out, many people can't afford, and we also know that many people from this community weren't allowed to even work on that.
It's another lie, and they go way higher than the police. They just carrying out, you know, they just doing their thing, what they tell them downtown. But Gavin Newsom, Willie Brown, and all the people that put money behind them are the real culprits in this city. The rich people in this city is the real culprits because they greedy. They want to make all the money. They can give Catholic charity all that land down there for a dollar. They will not let one black person do nothing out here. That's the problem. Discrimination against black people, and to run them out of here so they can grab all the land and bring in white yuppies that'll work the jobs around here. That's what's going on.
We've been talking with Willie Radcliffe. Willie, we appreciate it, from the SF Bayview. He wrote a story. We encourage people to read it. And it's called Why Should You Die Over a Transfer? Is the lead story that we got a chance to read this morning. Thank you very much, Willie.